Hello, I'm Dan Roberts, and this is the May 2011 session of the International MD Support Group. And our guest this month is one of our favorite people, Colleen O'Donnell, for a return appearance. As I wrote in this month's newsletter, older adults with vision loss still want to pursue creative, social, recreational, and spiritual activities, but we can sometimes be overwhelmed by the need to learn or relearn basic living skills. Over the years, we've heard from many speakers about how we can still enjoy such activities. We haven't, however, touched much on the area of spirituality. Colleen O'Donnell comes to us from the Visual Rehabilitation Center, which is an important part of the Henry Ford Medical System in Detroit, Michigan. She's a leading certified low-vision therapist who teaches other low-vision specialists how to enrich their instruction. And she's an advocate of encouraging the spiritual side as a strong source of support for many people. This will be the focus of this. As I said, it's her third presentation for the IMDSG, and I know we will all benefit from it, no matter what our religion or our belief system. Colleen, the mic is yours. Welcome back to our group.
Thank you, Dan. I'm very anxious to and pleased to be able to participate. Spirituality is a topic that I became interested in because I found that many of our clients, their main vision rehab goals centered around being able to read religious materials and participate in religious activities. And as I began to research spirituality and health, I found some further connections. So that's kind of an introduction to today's talk. Okay, Mark Twain recognized that spirituality was a very personal goal that each person had. And he said, from his cradle to his grave, a man never does a single thing which has any first and foremost objective but one to secure peace of mind, spiritual comfort for himself. Okay, researching about spirituality, it came, much of the literature mentioned that spirituality is a broader and more inclusive term than the term religion. In today's day and age, it's a more popular term than religion. However, it's very difficult to define because each individual defines it for themselves. Spirituality is free of the rules, regulations, and responsibilities associated with religion. And it may exist apart from religion. Characteristics of spirituality include three main ideas. The first one is the inner person or soul, which means your inner strength, the purpose and meaning behind your life. A second characteristic includes something called transcendence, and this is relationships beyond yourself. Your connectedness with others, with God, a relationship with God or a higher power, or with nature and the environment. The third component of spirituality is religion and religious practices. Each individual can wax and wane between spiritual wellness and spiritual distress. So some of the main differences between spirituality and religion can be that spirituality is something that's intrinsic to human nature. Researchers believe that this is part of each of us. It's our being, it's our inner beliefs. Religion, however, is an acquired learned behavior. It's thought to be the external expression of how we want to exercise or describe our inner spirituality. So spirituality is about being, religion is about doing. Everyone, therefore, it is thought, has a spiritual component, but not everyone is religious. Spiritual health and wellness has to do with the inner welfare of the inner person, that person's ability to invest energy in seeking meaning and purpose, the inner strength that you have to hope and cope. Like physical and mental health, spiritual health is dynamic. It can change depending on what is going on in your life. But when you are spiritually well, you have a feeling of peace, contentment, joy, serenity. Surveys on spirituality and religion have found that 51% of Americans pray daily, 72% pray for the well-being of others, 60% pray for forgiveness, 27% pray for personal success, 21% for money or other material things, and 67% pray because it brings them comfort and joy. The White House in 1961 started to hold conferences on aging. And during the first conference in 1961, more than 2,500 delegates made 947 recommendations for actions specific to the spiritual concerns and needs of older adults. 10 years later, and this conference occurs just about every 10 years, again, if there was a number of recommendations, this time 710, one of which called for a national conference on spiritual well-being. And this concept of spiritual well-being has continued and been used widely since. In 1972, the National Interfaith Conference on Aging was held, and this was a result of the 1971 White House Conference on Aging. This has continued to be a source of leadership to religious and spiritual communities. And their definition of spiritual well-being is the affirmation of life in a relationship with God, self, community, and the environment that nurtures and celebrates wholeness. In 1981, the White House Conference on Aging did not include a section on spirituality, and this reportedly was to avoid violating the relationship between church and state. However, the National Institute or the National Interfaith Coalition of Aging was still active and working with different faith and spiritual communities. The White House Conference in 1995, 11 mini conferences on the spiritual and religious aspects of aging were held, and these were held across the U.S. and affirmed the importance and everyday impact of spirituality on the lives of older adults. This slide talks a little bit about how many people in the U.S. turn to religion and spirituality to help them cope with stress and illness. 90% of Americans turn to religion to cope with the September 11th incidents. 90% of hospitalized patients rely on religion to cope. More than 40% say it's the most important factor that keeps them going. And research about the effects of aging on coping and health is growing rapidly. Dr. Harold Koenig from Duke University has done a lot of work on spirituality and healing. And he says, I think religion is a powerful factor in helping people to cope with stress, and in particular with health-related stress. Dr. Koenig recommends that health staff ask patients about their spiritual well-being and acknowledge and support their beliefs as part of their overall medical care. This ties in with a new concept of psychoneuroimmunology. There, I got it all out. This concept deals with the psychological effect, that is, what is going on in your mind, how this translates into physiology, or how this what is going on in your mind affects your body. They also look at how this impacts your immune system, such as positive feelings can trigger a beneficial immune response. Dr. Koenig and his colleagues at Duke University, as part of their research on religion, did one study that looked at positive aging, and they interviewed 838 hospitalized older adults who were 50 or older about their religious beliefs and practice. And they found that people who consider themselves religious or spiritual tended to have better social support, showed fewer symptoms of depression, had better mental functioning, and better ability to manage their daily activities. Older adults and spirituality Older adults are generally among the most religious demographic group. Clinicians now, it is felt, must have a comfort level in inquiring about spiritual issues, including faith and participation in religious activities. And patients or clients must also have a comfort level in inquiring about spiritual issues, including faith and participation. So if you do have some difficulty in your spiritual life, you need to begin to feel more comfortable discussing it with your healthcare professional. It is believed that as we age, we find that life review and spiritual well-being become even more important. So therefore, we older adults strive to attribute meaning for their life, for the life that they have lived so far. They strive to seek coping strength and hope as they experience more losses in their lives. And they look at self-actualization through this transcendence or connection in meaningful relationships with other people and with their higher power. Success in these tasks implies a state of optimum spiritual health. On the other hand, individuals that are in what is considered a spiritual distress have experiences where they feel like, I was a good person, why is this happening to me? So there's a pain of the human soul. There are feelings of hopelessness, helplessness, powerlessness. Persons in spiritual distress show signs of imbalance, disharmony, disconnectedness with themselves, others, or with God. And they may show objective signs of depression, such as weight loss, apathy, and problems sleeping or physical health problems. Some people find when they feel a spiritual distress that they begin to question their faith. They have questions about anger with God or their higher power. They begin to have difficulty practicing their traditional religious behaviors. Some of the quotes I've heard from some of the clients I've worked with have been, God is mad at me. They can just make holy water out of my tears. I can't pray anymore. I'm mad at God. I blame myself for the oxygen, and she was referring to her smoking, but I blame God for this, pointing to her eyes. Dr. Jean Cohen believes that developmentally, as we age, we enter a phase in our 60s, and it usually goes on into our 80s, that he calls summing up. And in this phase, we're looking at our soul, our inner person, and looking to find a larger meaning in terms of the story of our lives. We get involved in a lot of reminiscing and personal storytelling, and oftentimes we look at creative pursuits. The other thing that occurs during this phase is transcendence, or this beyond self, these connections. We put a stronger focus on them. Some individuals may look at, you know, philanthropy, volunteerism, becoming more active in their community, the desire to give back, to leave a legacy, and leave some of your wisdom. Some of the fundamental principles of aging and aging with spiritual health is that you want to transform your attitudes about aging, become more positive, look at seeking love or that connection everywhere with everyone. Learn to live in the now or the moment. Begin to accept your true self. Learn to forgive others and self. I think this is very important. I see this a lot. It's a heavy burden to hold on to anger. And to it's important for you to let go of anger and inner turmoil. Other principles of spiritual health as we age is to begin to give back that transcendence, give of yourself to others. Learn to delight in your connections. You know, it may not always be totally positive, but look for the what you're getting out of your relationships. Spend more time in celebrating your faith and what you feel are your strong spiritual beliefs. Look at discovering more personal meaning in your life. make your feelings work for you and achieve balance in your life. It is thought also that as we look at the spiritual side of life is when we age, we should be looking at a self-inventory so that you sit down and you think, how are you spiritually? What do you do spiritually? What do you do in terms of religious services? How much time do you spend contemplating and reflecting on your life? What acts are you doing towards your family and friends? And what acts or connections are you making towards a greater community, the nation, or the world? And as you look at these variety of activities, think to yourself, what moral, ethical, personal, or religious belief does each act reflect? And as we look at some of these, the dimensions of spirituality, I'm just referring back to a previous slide, that there are three. As you do your inventory, think about these. One is yourself, your inner soul, your inner person, what gives your life meaning and purpose. What are the connections beyond yourself that you're making with others, with God, with the environment, with nature? And what religious practices are you doing or want to do or maybe have let go because of other things that are going on in your life? So as you look at your inner self, you're looking at the essence of who you are. Even though your body has gotten slower or achier, there are some things about you that have not changed, that is part of your personality. These things may include your morals, your value. Where you act when you feel like you're centered and things are nice and calm. What are some intangible goals that define you, your passions, your creativity, your desire to give? What you truly are transcends those temporary changes or losses or struggles that are going on in your physical body. So look at the things that you can do that can free your mind from these worries. Part of looking at your inner self is looking at what has given your life meaning. What human experiences of wonder have you had or do you have in your life now? Nurture your present moment awareness. And we'll talk about that some more in a minute. What is it that you see? What is in your eye? The eye of the beholder. When something is going on, how are you perceiving it? What is spontaneous or consciously nurturing your experiences? What do you do when you're contemplating about what your life's spiritual journey has been? You may also want to look at meaning in your life in terms of lifelong learning, what is fulfilling yourself now as you age, as well as what has fulfilled you in the past. Wisdom as a living process that you're constantly learning and sharing that learning. And aging as a living process, not an end to life, but as a continuum guided by your spiritual. So we all should be looking at what it means to be in the moment. Like this little guy who is taking time to smell the flowers, children are frequently in a moment and don't have difficulty. So think about those times in your life, like during the birth of a child, during viewing a sunrise, when you were totally present, you were right there in the moment. When you live in the moment, you do stay optimistic. You relieve your stress. Examples may be to take a walk in the woods, to be creative, involved in a creative process. When you're feeling contented and at peace, you are living in the moment. And this, they feel, is a very healthy way of you learning to cope with mortality. I recently worked with a client who was 94 and had moderate vision loss and memory loss. And we spent a lot of time, per her request, on working on her ability to continue to practice her religion, to read her prayers, to leave a legacy, to designate familiar items for members of her family. And she said to me, "My bags are packed. I'm ready to die. I'm comfortable with it. and I'm comfortable with my spirituality. It is believed that even when people say things like, I leave my fate in God's hands, when they cede control, when they can give control to God or a higher power, this actually gives them a greater feeling of being in control, that they have made a decision that they, although they cannot control the outcomes of older adulthood, they can control the attitude and behavior and reaction to those possibly negative outcomes. So spiritual growth in your inner self is a slow and gradual process, and we find that as we get older, we become more spiritual. Some of the questions we may ask ourselves is, do I make a difference? Why am I still here? How can I live a better life? What is meaningful in my life? How can I feel more peaceful? You may feel an urgency in terms of expressing your spirituality and understanding what your faith is. You may find that when you quiet your mind, that this comes to you more easily. And the topic is difficult to talk about, but you'll find that as you start sharing with people, it becomes easier. The second aspect of looking at your inner self, it has to do with what gives your life purpose. So we talked a little bit about meaning. Now we're looking at what is it you do or would like to do that makes you feel like you're giving back. And this may include activities that you feel are your personal growth. You may look at new careers, new hobbies. You may try to do something that you didn't think you could do, like in the movie The Bucket List. You may be looking at balance, you know, and think about doing some things that you really truly enjoy. You may look at your social connections, telling your story, leaving your legacy, your recipes, your stories of being in the service. It is felt that older adults are culture makers, and it's important for us as we age to include intergenerational programs and be able to express our culture and lead that for the next generation. Creativity can also give one inner peace and the feeling of purpose and satisfaction. So that you're looking at little things in life, you begin to develop an appreciation of the smallest wonders. Looking at the complexity of life, there are infinite opportunities for new ideas and interactions. And Dr. Cohen, he's the gentleman that's done work on that summing up phase. He believes it's very important to continue with talk. In your head, you're telling yourself that things are going to be okay. All right, the second part about spiritual growth, as we talked about a minute ago, is connection. So you may be looking at your faith community, giving back to the general community, to your family, ways to respect the environment, and ways to love all things, and as these people who are laughing, looking at positive. In terms of your faith community, you may want to look at how you can be involved in activities. Perhaps there's been some difficulty because of your vision loss, so look at some other avenues. Look at healthy living, physical, taking care of your physical body so you can continue with your spiritual health. Look at more creative expressions. This gentleman in the corner is a client we worked with who felt that making churches in his wood shop was a legacy, a way of him giving back to his family. So he made one for each family. Look at accessibility issues. Can you make it to church? Can you participate like you used to? At Henry Ford Health System Detroit, we're working currently on a National Institute of Health grant looking at accessibility in the community for older adults with vision impairments. And one of the community centers that we're looking at are church and faith communities. And we're making site visits and then giving some recommendations The upper left-hand corner here shows a little step up to the altar in one church that was marked with yellow in order to make that step up safer. You should be hearing more about this, hopefully in the next year. Other ways to express yourself religiously, adaptations that you may look into or request are things like large print books. Many religions have these now. Bibles, Bible studies on tape. Many churches now do record sermons or different activities. Many services are on television. There are phone prayer chains that you can be involved in. You can have someone enlarge your traditional prayer cards. Look at creative expression. This lady liked to do needlepoint, so she made crosses out of the needlepoint. And look at drivers, you know, in your church community that can help you get to church. You won't know about it unless you ask. All right, the second part is about spiritual growth has to do with giving back, volunteering, mentoring, especially, you know, your grandchildren or younger people. Doing something for someone else without expecting anything in return. Sharing simple things like those coveted recipes you may be holding on to. Planting a flower, writing a letter and actually sending it, seeing a movie with someone and discussing the movie, visit someone who does not get visitors regularly. Staying connected is more difficult as we get older, and you do have to work a little harder at it, just as you do with your physical health. Friends don't come easy as you get older. You know, part of aging is losing friends. Society, it is believed, has not really developed a lot of approaches that support social activity. So this is where creative talk among yourself and with perhaps people in the low vision community. I think people who have low vision also have problems because face recognition and, you know, subtle aspects of nonverbal communication become difficult. So you have to learn to work around that. You may want to ask your friends to announce themselves. If you have low hearing, make sure you wear and know how to use your hearing aids. And look at transportation alternatives. My uncle in Florida just had to give up his license, so he rides his bike to church. If you feel that you are beginning to be spiritually distressed, some of the recommendations are that you talk, of course, to a spiritual advisor. And even if you don't currently attend a particular community, you know, any community, I'm sure, would be open to sitting down and talking with you. Seek out opportunities for spiritual growth in your own congregation. You know, perhaps you can't run the whole luncheon after funeral, but perhaps you can donate something. Learn more about your family's spiritual traditions and make sure, you know, encourage your younger family members to participate. Write down and record the things that give your life meaning. Find out about opportunities for service in your congregation. Sit down and list your spiritual beliefs and your doubts. And talk to your attorney or work on your will and end-of-life issues. Rabbi Harold Kushner had a very nice way to express spirituality. And he said, when your life is filled with the desires to see the holiness in everyday life, something magical happens. Ordinary life becomes extraordinary, and the very process of life begins to nourish your soul. So I encourage you to keep your spirit healthy and to keep me in your thoughts and prayers, and I thank you for the opportunity today.
Colleen, that was just outstanding. I think you covered just about every area. We do have one question on the board. Let's go ahead and start with that, and then I've got a couple of things I'd like to bring up as well. Joan says, how do group associations help depression? Colleen?
I believe group associations can help with depression because they're looking at that sense of connectedness. If you look at it from a spiritual health standpoint, it can help you deal with some of that, those ideas about I'm not the only one. And by connecting with someone else and discussing what your conflicts are in dealing with loss, it can help you feel part of the larger community and then feel more spiritually connected and therefore more healthy.
Joan also says that Barbara, who is the leader of their group, says that working with their group helped pull her out of her depression. And that is absolutely true. Helping others is probably the best way to help yourself. I've discovered that in the work that I do here, and I imagine, Colleen, you feel that same sense of joy whenever you have reached someone and have been able to help them. We may get up in the morning and not be chipper and ready to go for the day, but once we start helping other people, that really pulls us up, doesn't it, Colleen?
Yes, Dan, I feel that definitely makes a difference. And one of the things that I find with some of my clients is, you know, the difficulty in asking for help. And what I tell them is that, you know, think about how much pleasure it gives you to help someone else. And if you accept help, you're giving that individual the same kind of joy that you experience when you're helping someone else.
Absolutely. Do you feel like that we become more spiritual as we get older? And the second part of that question is, do you think that morbidities such as low vision cause us to become more or less spiritual as we go through the process?
Okay, I think that, yeah, we definitely become more spiritual as we get older. And I think as part of the aging process, part of a healthy aging, I think that as we look back at our lives and, you know, think about what we've accomplished and whatever we feel will be occurring in the next, the next part of our lives, that is usually connected with some sort of spiritual expression. And as we get older, we have more to review, and the thought is that that's part of our development at that point, that we want to express that side of ourselves. I think as we experience losses, such as vision loss or other, you know, kinds of physical and social losses, it makes that spiritual health a little bit more of a challenge. And I think that's where the part of the responsibility of healthcare professionals and being open and more comfortable and opening discussion and doors to talk about spiritual health and what barriers to spiritual health people may experience because they are older and have, you know, a variety of conditions. And then on the other side, those of us that do have conditions that, you know, vision loss or arthritis or whatever that is keeping us from expressing ourselves, it is our responsibility, I believe, to ask healthcare professionals, you know, spiritual advisors, whoever can help you continue with that part of your growth and developmental process. So, and that's where accessibility ideas come in. Many of the things that we're working on with our site-wise in terms of making churches and faith communities more accessible visually to people, many of those ideas have come from participation of our clients. And part of this whole grant is involving older adults with low vision in the assessment and giving suggestions to the faith communities.
What do you suppose the resistance is among the professionals to bringing up spirituality, since it is such an important part of some of our lives? And what do you suppose the resistance is to bringing that up as part of their training us as part of the rehabilitation process?
I think because spirituality is such a personal, it's the very inner part of ourselves. You know, it's very hard for anyone to express it to anyone. And I think it's healthcare professionals. You know, I've been an occupational therapist for 30 some years. And I recall even in my training, it was, you know, there were certain things, you know, it's the old don't discuss religion or politics. Well, now we're trying to encourage more discussion of religion, maybe not religious concepts, but how religion is affecting your life as an older adult, and also how religion or expression of spirituality is affecting your overall health. Something I did not mention in the talk was that there are actual medical schools, and I think there's a couple hundred now in the country that are offering courses to physicians on spirituality. And I just came across a webinar directed at healthcare professionals in instructing us in how to open those doors and feel more comfortable. So I think it's such a personal area, and, you know, we don't want to avoid conflict or feel like we're giving someone else what our beliefs are. But I think if we look at it in terms of supporting an individual to express their beliefs and their that aspect of their lives, I think we're going to see a lot more work on that.
Well, I hope you're right. The least a person could do is say, I don't want to talk about it. But it's nice if it were to be brought up by the people that are caring for us and helping us to get through this. Colleen, you're a wonderful lady, you're a wonderful friend, and I hope you'll come back with us. It seems like every time I ask you to come on and talk, it seems like it doesn't matter what subject I ask you to talk on, you come in with a wonderful presentation on it. And so it's really great to have you on our side. Next month, everybody, our annual update on research is planned, and that's when I'll do my best to distill all of the work that's been done this past year and present it to you as clearly and concisely as possible. There's a lot of it. I just came back from the ARVO convention in Florida, and so I have a lot to tell you, and there was a lot in the newsletter this month. We'll try to, as I said, distill all that so that we can understand a little bit better where the research stands at this point. So until then, again, thank you, Colleen O'Donnell, for coming in and speaking with us today. Everybody else, take good care of yourselves and each other, and we'll see you in June.